Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, I have an update from Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He put out a piece on the Raiders' workplace environment. You'll hear from him. Plus, Pro Football Focus has ranked the Raiders' secondary. Derek Carr also met with the media on Monday, so you'll hear what DC had to say. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for June 28th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
You're a win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. And Raider Nation, I'll tell you right now, definitely appreciate all the support with the podcast, with the radio station, even with the ESPN National. And this week, I'll tell you right now, off top, will probably be the biggest challenge in my radio career, trying to get all the way through Friday with what I have going on. I mentioned it last week to close out the show on Friday that I'm doing not only my shows on Raider Nation Radio 920, but I'm turning around an hour later and working on ESPN National, filling in for Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, 6 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So a lot of radio. Monday, I was able to survive. I got through it, and so I'm still here, but I'll tell you, around Wednesday or Thursday, I'm probably going to start dragging a little bit, but it's okay. We're going to get through it. We'll get through it together. I definitely appreciate you supporting the show as you always do. Now, let's go ahead and get into the news and notes here in segment number one. And as I mentioned on Monday's show, Mick Akers put out a piece on the Las Vegas Review-Journal about the workplace environment with the Silver and Black, and I wanted to get a few answers from him, so I had him as a guest on my show on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness, just to ask him a few of the detailed questions so we can start to get to the bottom of what's going on, how much of it is new and how much of it is old. And that's really where I started. And again, the piece is called How a Boys Club Raiders Culture Fueled Turnover, Lawsuits, and Harassment Claims. So as Mick was a guest on my radio show, the first question I asked was, hey, how much of this is new allegation and how much is this stuff that we were already aware of?
Yeah, you know, it's a mix, a little bit of both. Obviously, some of this was reported by the New York Times, you know, a few weeks ago, but, you know, kind of dug a little deeper, got a little bit more info and some responses to some of this stuff here. Obviously, you know, not a good look as far as the organization goes, but, you know, at this point, you know, there are allegations and such, you know, nothing right. confirmed, but there's, you know, multiple lawsuits out there tied to this stuff. So obviously some of these people thought they had, you know, a good enough case to at least try it in court. So, so, it was a mix of, you know, new and, you know, some of the info we knew, but obviously we, you know, dug a little bit deeper and, you know, we got some people that, you know, what having talked before on the record, you know, kind of giving responses and such and, you know, kind of echoed the same thing, you know, hey, there's some issues here and right. obviously we've seen some turnover in the organization itself. So, you know, right now, it just kind of looks like it's kind of trying to get sorted out, but it's obviously still an ongoing situation.
So that was Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal just talking about doing a little bit of deeper diving into the allegations that have been put out there and that there's multiple lawsuits that are out there. So, again, it's not something that's a good look, obviously, for the Raiders, but a lot of it, I believe, was already stuff that we knew. Again, it just might have gone into a little bit more details, kind of giving you a little bit better idea. But as I was all going through the piece and I was reading it and I skimmed over some of it, but for the most part, did a pretty good job of reading it and trying to get as much knowledge as possible. I felt like there was a lot of stuff that kind of flew under the radar and wasn't noticed early on, and now there's more checks and balances. So the final soundbite I want you to hear from Mick Akers is exactly that. Does he feel like there's more checks and balances going on with the Raiders now than there was earlier when a lot of these allegations were coming out?
Well, you know, we have, you know, when Ventrelli got fired and he came out and said that the reason that was is because he alerted some issues to the NFL that he said he alerted to Mark Davis that went, you know, underserved. And then, you know, we had some people come out and say they were surprised by that because they've aired some concerns to Ventrelli, which went, you know, mm-hmm. unchecked as well. So, you know, it's kind of, you got, he says, she says stuff going on here. So it's, you know, kind of caught in the middle. You're not sure who to believe, but, you know, we have some lawsuits, and then Ventrelli said he, you know, he had legal counsel for, as far as his firing went. He didn't comment on this piece, you know, obviously if he has any kind of legal plans or right. legal action plan, obviously he's not going to, you know, comment too much in the media. So, you know, it looks like obviously there's been some upheaval in the organization. It looks like, you know, at some point they'll hire a new president. You know, we got the Marcel Reese getting a promotion there. Obviously, that seems like it's tied to some, you know, keeping some of the staff in line, it looks like. You know, there is obviously that movement. So, you know, it seems like, you know, there is some work being done there.
So there's Mick Akers right there just talking about checks and balances and if things are starting to come together. And again, he said a lot of he say, she say. Of course, former interim president Dan Ventrelli didn't have anything to say. Mark Davis, he said that he'll comment at another time on all of this stuff. It just was not the right time right now. So obviously there's a lot of, you know, legalities and everyone's got to be very careful with what they say right now. So again, if there's any updates on this story, I'll continue to bring it to you. But just doing my due diligence just to see where we are with this situation. And obviously these are allegations that are very seriously, so you have to take them very seriously when they come out. So definitely wanted to update you on that. Also, Pro Football Focus's Mike Renner, he's put out the 2022 NFL secondary rankings. It's called Baltimore Ravens, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They take the top spot. So he goes through and ranks all 32 teams, their starting secondary, and where he thinks that they rank. And I'll let you know right now, according to Mike, the Raiders did not do so well. Matter of fact, they came in 29th, according to Pro Football Focus. And I know a lot of folks will say, yeah, PFF doesn't know what they're talking about. These rankings are stupid. And I'm not saying that it's the end-all be-all. I've said it before. I never swear up and down by Pro Football Focus, but I do like to get somewhat of an idea of what they're thinking and how they rank. And so a lot of these times I'll reach out to guys like Mike Renner, and I've had him on my show before, talking about the other rankings that he had. So maybe he'll be a guest. Maybe I'll be able to reach out and get him this afternoon and give him a chance to explain where he's coming from as far as these rankings go. But again, the Raiders come in at 29th, has quarterback Trayvon Mullen, cornerback Rocky Sin, nickel cornerback Nate Hobbs, safety Jonathan Abram, and safety Trayvon Merrick. Now, of course, that's the starters that he's expecting to be out there. You know, now Jerron Harmon is a safety. Jonathan Abram might be playing a different role. You know, Rocky Sin could be a guy. Anthony Averett could end up being a starter. So, I mean, this is all just based off of what he's, you know, looking at. Trayvon Mullen might not even be a starter based off health, you know, so we don't really know. But what he has to say, the little write-up was, while the Raiders defense took a healthy step forward in 2021, the worrisome thing is that the man who is most responsible for that isn't walking through the door anymore. Casey Hayward Jr. allowed only 388 yards in 17 games last season. Trayvon Mullen Jr. has allowed more than that, actually 401 yards in his past 9 games. So that was the reason for the 29th ranking, according to Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus, when it comes to the secondaries of all 32 teams in the NFL. Now, this was actually sent to me, this next graphic, top 10 cornerbacks. And obviously, this is the top 10 cornerbacks in the AFC West. And I don't really know exactly what they're talking about. If this is press man coverage, if it's just the 10 top cornerbacks in the AFC West, I'm not exactly 100% sure. And I'm not exactly sure what outlet put this out there. But I found this to be interesting, especially after looking at what Pro Football Focus had to say about the Raiders and that they were ranked 29th, according to Mike Renner. Well, this graphic that was sent over to me by way of Twitter has the top 10 cornerbacks, and this is obviously the AFC West. J.C. Jackson, number 1 from the Chargers. Patrick Surtain, the 2nd with the Broncos, number 2. Nate Hobbs, number 3. Asante Samuel Jr. with the Chargers, number 4. Rocky Sin with the Raiders, number 5. Bryce Callahan with the Chargers, number 6. Rashad Fenton with the Chiefs, number 7. Ronald Darby with the Broncos, number 8. Anthony Averett with the Raiders, number 9. And Trent McDuffie with the Chiefs, number 10. So top 10 cornerbacks has 3 representatives from the Raiders on it as far as the AFC West goes. But then again, it almost feels like it goes exactly opposite of what I was just talking about with Pro Football Focus when they're talking about the Raiders as the 29th secondary. But again, these are Hobbs, Rocky Sin, and Anthony Averett. And Anthony Averett wasn't even mentioned in the Pro Football Focus piece. So just kind of wanted to throw that out there to you as well. Again, there's a lot of different opinions out there about secondaries, about offensive lines, about defensive lines. Around this time of year, that's what you're going to get. And my final note for you for segment number 1 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day, the battle for Vegas, Raiders versus Golden Knights. I was here in Las Vegas last year when this happened. Team Raiders won. It was Team Marcus Allen, as a matter of fact. This year, it's Team Josh Jacobs, and his team was announced on Monday. Playing for Team Jacobs is Jonathan Abram. He was a player last year. He did a pretty good job. Max Crosby, he's going to be participating. Darren Waller, he was a big-time participant a season ago. Alex Leatherwood, he's new to this game. Denzel Perryman, also new to this game. Remember, he wasn't even a member of the Raiders when this game happened last year at the Las Vegas ballpark. A.J. Cole, he's part of this one. Jayon Brown, he's a new member of the Silver and Black. He's going to be playing on Team Jacobs. Foster Moreau, and of course, Josh Jacobs. Last year, Tim Brown and also Marcus Allen were part of it. Marcus was the manager. Tim Brown also played. It has not been announced if they're going to be involved or not, but it's going down on July 18th at the Las Vegas ballpark. And if you listen to Raider Nation Radio 920, we're actually going to be giving out tickets to that. I know a lot of folks went out last year. It was a really good time. Again, Team Marcus Allen, Team Raiders, won last year against the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm expecting the Raiders to win again this year. But it's a fun time out, and it's right before training camp starts. This is the 18th. This is the day that rookies will be reporting to training camp, and of course, veterans report on the 20th. So just wanted to let you know about Team Jacobs as far as the battle for Vegas goes. And that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, Derek Carr had a media session on Monday. He's going to be participating in a golf tournament that will be happening, taking place in July. And so him, Mike Vrabel, and also Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz were all on this media call. I'll bring you some of Derek Carr's sounds and give you my takeaways from it. Coming up in segment number two, after I tell you about betonline.net. They are your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can get the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball and a whole lot more. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They've got live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net is the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. They are the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. You got to go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device to learn about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to give you a breakdown of Derek Carr's media session he had on Monday. This was a part of the American Century Championship golf tournament that's going to be taking place in July. It was Derek Carr, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, and also Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz. He's a part of the Fox broadcast now, does a great job with that. But all three of those guys were made available, and of course, Derek Carr was what really mattered. I wanted to make sure to get the Derek Carr sound, and I got to give a big shout-out to Patricia Traynor, Locked On Giants. She's the host of that show. She's actually the one who alerted me to this and gave me the information, so I was able to get onto the Zoom call. So big shout-out to Patricia Traynor. Again, she does a great job with Locked On Giants and definitely gave me a good scoop and got me on this media call, so I definitely appreciate her. But this is an annual 54-hole tournament set for Friday through Sunday, July 8th through 10th. It's going to be televised nationally. It takes place in Lake Tahoe. Aaron Rodgers, Justin Timberlake, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, of course, Derek Carr, Tony Romo, Charles Barkley, Annika Sorenstam, Colin Jost, CC Sabathia, Ray Romano, John Smoltz, and a lot of other folks are all going to be participating in this event. But what we're here for is the Derek Carr sound, right? And it was great to see Derek. He looked like he was in a really good place. He sounded very calm, cool, collective. And look, I know it's the end of June. Training camp hasn't started yet, so he's got about, well, a little less than a month before having to get back on the grind. But I'll tell you, man, without having to worry about a contract, without having to worry about a lot of off-the-field issues as far as the football side of things go, it just seems like that this has been a much better offseason for Derek Carr, and he's in a really good place. And again, I'll let you base it off of what you hear from the sound that I'll provide for you right now, but my biggest takeaways were that he's in a really good place. And again, this is a golf tournament. It's taking place in Lake Tahoe. So the first soundbite that I want you to hear is just Derek Carr talking about how much he loves golf. He talks about football here as well, but this is really just Carr talking about the game of golf.
I absolutely love golf. I fell in love with it as a kid. You know, my first memories of playing golf were my dad saying, "Hey, you don't have to go to school tomorrow. You're going with me," and you know, going to play golf. And I learned at a young age that it was a very imperfect game. And you know, watching the best even shank shots and miss things, and it's frustrating for me because when it comes to throwing the football, that comes so natural, and you know, it's at the highest level. And then I'm like, well, I should be shooting 68 every day then, you know, and working on my game in that sense. So when I chunk a chip and it goes 2 feet in front of me, it is a little frustrating because I don't have as much control over that as I do with throwing a slant or a deep ball. So it is frustrating, but it's actually been a peace of mind for me, something that I can get away from football sometimes and just begin to work on something else, just begin to, you know, fine tune my talents and my craft in the golf game, and really just to make sure that I beat my brother. And so for me, it's been a competitive thing that I can't help but compete. But it's been something for me to get away also. And something I've fallen in love with.
So there's Derek Carr right there talking about the game of golf, talking about what it means to him when he fell in love with it and who he wants to beat. He wants to beat Big Bro, right? And nothing wrong with that. Who doesn't want to beat their big brother? Well, how about some football conversation? And there was some really good football questions asked to Derek Carr, one by my guy Phil Perry, who actually covers the New England Patriots, been covering them for a long time. I've had him on the podcast, had him on my radio show, just to get an update and an idea of what to expect from Josh McDaniels. So he asked Derek Carr about the culture that Coach McDaniels is trying to create with the Raiders and what he's learned from Josh so far, what his biggest takeaways were.
I've been very impressed with Josh, and I mean, Coach Vrabel knows him real well, and you know, they've been around that system and that way of doing things. And one thing Josh has done is he's come in and he says, "This is not New England. This is Las Vegas. We're going to do things our way. I've learned a lot of great things there that we're going to implement, but I also have some things that I want to do my way." And the way the team has just wrapped their arms around him and listened to his leadership, and for me, like, the depth of the conversations that we're having is encouraging. It's fun for me. The best part of my game has always been the mental side, and that's exactly how Josh is. You know, he's a genius when it comes to scheming things up and, you know, coming, you know, teaching his system and, you know, getting the best out of his players. I feel like a better football player. You know, and I've had a lot of great coaches, and he's come in, he's seen those things, and wow, that's awesome. What about this too? Let's add here. And he's just helping me grow. And, you know, it's been really fun to be around him. But I think culture wise, he has brought in his own vision and his own way of doing things. And it's different than what he wanted to do in Denver. It's different than New England. And it's what we're going to do in Las Vegas. But he's a great guy, and I absolutely love him. Dave, our general manager, him and Dave have just been great. I mean, I'm texting with him all the time, playing golf with Josh, you know, talking about ideas and things like that. And it's been awesome. I really have enjoyed my time, and I'm looking forward to years to come, you know, learning from him.
So there you go. Derek Carr talking about the culture that Coach McDaniels is trying to create, what he's learned from him, talking about the fact that he's a, you know, offensive genius. And a lot of Derek Carr's best qualities are upstairs, you know, in between the ears. And he's saying that that's who Josh McDaniels is. I'll tell you right now, and I could be falling for a banana in the tailpipe. I could be drinking the Kool-Aid, and it's okay if you think that I am, you know. Don't hesitate to call me out and say, "Yeah, Q, I think you're falling the hook, line, and sinker a little too soon." I think Josh McDaniels is going to be really good for Derek Carr. I really do. I think he's going to be able to find a way to push the right buttons. But again, it's only June. We haven't seen training camp yet. I'll give you a better idea then, but it just feels like, from what I've been able to see, very minimal, but what I've been able to see, it just feels like he's going to be really good for Derek Carr. So he was asked about how he felt OTAs and mandatory minicamp went. Matter of fact, a reporter from right here in Las Vegas, Ron Fortrell, actually asked him this question. So here's Derek Carr talking about OTAs and mandatory minicamp, how he thought it went.
Yeah, I think it went great. But we still have a lot of work to do. We're both, you know, on Max's side, on my side, we're all learning new systems. You know, in the special teams kicking game, it's a new culture. It's a new way of doing things. So we got a lot of way to go. I mean, we got a lot of talent. I've been on some really talented teams that didn't do much. And so, you know, just the leadership part of it, just making sure that the work is being put in. Before this, I was up early throwing with, you know, Tay this morning, you know, and we're working on our craft and we're working on getting better and, you know, the timing and the chemistry. And we're, you know, cause Coach Vrabel's got some defenses that we're going to have to deal with, you know, and we got some stuff that we're going to have to, you know, prepare for. As much as I play golf, as much as I have fun, I spend a lot more time studying my playbook and, you know, getting ready for the real season for me, until really my football career is done. And so we got ways to go, and our division's tough. It's going to be fun. No one thinks anything of us, and I think that's what makes it fun, is you always have to put the ball down and play the football games.
So there's Derek Carr right there. A little bit of an edge to him, you know. Hey, nobody thinks that we're going to be much, and that's okay. Still got to put the football down and go play football games. And so I like that approach. I think that that's good. It lets it be known that the players, him, they're hearing everything that's being said. He's the fourth worst quarterback in the division. They're the fourth worst team in the division. Russell Wilson's there. Patrick Mahomes is there. Justin Herbert. How are the Raiders going to compete? I like the fact that they're using that at least a little bit as some kind of motivation. So the final soundbite that I want you to hear is actually the question that I asked them, and it was really a two-parter question. It was about an hour-long media session, so by the time they got to me, I was like, man, I better get both questions in as quick as possible. So I asked them, since it is about a golf tournament, I asked them about golfing with Adams and Renfro and how they're pushing each other, how they're making each other better. Of course, Devontae wants to beat Hunter. Hunter wants to beat Devontae. How's all that going? How's that dynamic helping them? And how are they coming along together as a team? And then the follow-up question that I had for for him was the fact I told him that, hey, every year you give us something, you say, this is what I'm working on. This is what we decided that I'm trying to get better at this year. So has he decided, even less than a month out from training camp, has he decided on what it is he's working on? And his answer is very interesting. Check it out.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Q. Good to see you. I think, like I said, you know, me and Tay spend a lot of time together. Hunter and I play a lot of golf. It's really cool to hear, you know, John Smoltz talk about how the guys, that was our outlet, those things that we did together. That's, you know, team unity, bonding, you know. So when the other guy's pitching, I mean, you got his back no matter what, you know, that kind of stuff. And for us, it's like, you know, Hunter, myself, Devontae, all of us, we play golf, Foster, we're out there and we're playing. And, you know, so when you build this chemistry, so when, you know, Tay goes off for 100 or Hunter goes off for 100, like they're the first one celebrating. You ever watch our games, Hunter scores, Darren Waller is the first one with his arms in the air. You create this unity, you create this bond. And it's something that golf has done for us, you know. And, you know, I'm literally, we threw this morning, we're working out together, and then we're going to go play golf right after this. He's literally texting me as we're sitting here, you know. And it's been really cool to have a game that we both love. And, you know, he pushes me. I push him to be better. And he says it's good to, he said it's good to play golf with me because he doesn't say as many certain words as he usually does. And so it's been good. But we enjoy ourselves, man. We have such a fun time. Like if anything, like obviously we're all competitive at this level. You got to be competitive to make it. And we all want to beat each other. But I think the coolest part for me is watching our team come together through just a different game, just through a different discipline, you know, and things like that, creating chemistry and bonds. And so that's been fun. And we are working on some stuff, but one thing I've learned with this staff is where we're not saying much. And so, we are working on some stuff. And, you know, me, Q, I try and share as much as I can to help you guys out and all that kind of stuff. But we're working on some things, but we got a lot of work to do to be able to compete in our division. You know, you get frustrated when you see, you know, other people's names on things and this and that. And you're like, well, we're here too. You know, we feel like we got better too. And I thought we made the playoffs. And so hopefully it doesn't guarantee anything this year, but it does guarantee that we have some good guys. And so, you know, we got a chip on our shoulder like always. And as Raiders, I think that's how we should have it. And, you know, we're excited to compete against the best. My buddy Khalil joined the Chargers. You know, then, you know, the Broncos got better. The Chiefs got better. And you're looking around, you're like, man, it's going to be a lot of fun playing these teams and against the best, some of the best quarterbacks in the game. And it's what you look forward to. It's what you want to sign up for.
Very detailed answer right there from Derek Carr talking about playing golf with Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams, how that really helps them even come together as a team and push each other. And then you hear what he said about working on some things. We're working on some things, but this new regime, you know, has kind of really let it be known that we don't really talk about it. We just go out there and do it. And I'm okay with that. That was actually a perfect answer. That let it be known that, hey, this is the approach that they're going to take. They're not going to do a whole lot of talking this year. They're just going to go out there and do a lot of playing. And I'm fine with that. That answer was perfect. He said, hey, you know, I try to give you as much as possible. Look, that was plenty. That was plenty. I had no problem with that answer. I actually laughed and thought that was a great answer. So I definitely appreciate him being very detailed and thorough with his answer. It's not like he was just trying to rush his way through it. And again, I just feel like he's in a really good place. And I like the fact that they have this chip on their shoulder and a little bit of edge. Hey, I thought we were a playoff team. I think we got better as well, but they're not hearing their names and they're okay. If they use that for motivation, regardless if it's just a push through training camp, if it's a push through the beginning of the season, great. Use everything you can for motivation, even if it's manufactured, to go out there and do what you do. So that was Derek Carr, his media session on Monday. Again, this was for the golf tournament that will be taking place in Lake Tahoe. It was him, Mike Vrabel, and John Smoltz all on the Zoom call with us. So hopefully you enjoyed some of that. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Got a call from Raider Mike. He's calling to talk about Ndamukong Suh and what he thinks about the player, what he could do with him if the Raiders were to sign him. Here he is, Raider Mike.
Hey, Q, it's Raider Mike from New Jersey. How are you? Q, I got a little thing about Sue. My opinion on Sue is, if you remember back when the Raiders beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, the only good game plan that Gunter had in probably his whole life, if you ask me, was he kept Mahomes in the pocket. And the addition of a guy like Sue, if he's coming through, yeah, what I would do is I would just bring him in on passing downs, put him at the three technique, right? Let him shoot the gap through the A gap, try to get Mahomes to move out of the pocket. He moves out of the pocket, he's got Chandler Jones on one side and Max Crosby on the other side to close in. So you kind of like hem him in, because all of those quarterbacks in the AFC West, they're all going to get out of the pocket if they can and create plays on the move, because we know you can't cover anybody in the league the way the rules are. Can't even sneeze near a receiver, you throw a flag. So I think that would be a really good move, because then you're going to keep him in the pocket, and then if he tries to roll out, right, you got the two guys, the edge guys on the outside closing in on him, so he'll stay where he has to stay, and then maybe Sue can, you know, gather up a bunch of sacks in addition to the other DTs on the team. So I think it would be a good addition. The other thing is, you always talk about, you know, the window being open. There's a window. Well, if when the window's open, everything gets in, right? And when once the window's closed, then nothing can get in. So while that's open, I think it'd be a good idea to bring him in. And, it's obviously going to be a one-year deal. And if it's, even if they have to pay a little bit more, I know this regime doesn't like to do that, but you know what? If they were holding the trophy at the end of the year, not many people are going to complain that they may have paid $2 million extra or $2 million more than they should have. So I just think that would be a really good addition for that reason alone. Shooting the A-gap, coming through there, forcing Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Justin Herbert to have to roll out, and then there's Crosby and Chandler Jones waiting for him. So that's just my opinion. I don't know if they're going to sign him. Usually when they want somebody, they do it right away. They're hanging around. They're just dragging their feet. So I don't know if they will, if they're even interested. But I would just bring him in on third down. The heck with it. He's not a 3-4 defensive tackle anyway. So just bring him in on third down and let him rush the quarterback. That's all. Even if you got to overpay a little bit. Al Davis would have done it. I'm out, baby. Take care. Talk to you soon.
There he goes. That's Raider Mike. Thank you so much for the call, my man. And I agree. I mean, you know, if you can find a way to have a guy like Sue or anyone else help collapse that pocket from the interior, I mean, yeah, you're going to win more games than you won't. I mean, that's what you got to do in the AFC West. You've got to disrupt the quarterback, no doubt about it, from the interior. Yeah, you got the edge rushers, but there's no doubt you want a guy like Justin Herbert to have to struggle and not be able to step up. Russell Wilson, you want him to hold on to the ball. When he holds on to the ball, good things happen for the defense. Like Chandler Jones gets to him five times a game. You know, Max Crosby's going to get to a guy. You know, that's what you want. Patrick Mahomes, you don't want him to be able to step up in the pocket. So yeah, ideally that's what Sue would bring to the table. He would be a guy that can help collapse the pocket, get about six sacks, be pretty nasty against the run, just bring a little bit of edge to that position. Obviously you're not getting Detroit Lion or Miami Dolphins Sue. You know, you're getting a guy that's older, but still a guy very durable who hasn't missed very many games, only a couple in his career. So I wouldn't be mad at that. My biggest thing, as I was talking on Monday, you heard on the Monday show, I just don't think that the Raiders are going to give the money that he wants. I think it really honestly boils down to money. I'm not an insider. That's my guy, Vinny Bonsignor, and he said multiple times on multiple occasions that he doesn't believe that the Raiders have any interest in Sue right now. That's something that he's hearing from people that are much higher up than me, and I'm just, you know, going off of what Vinny's talking about right now, and also from what I've seen from this new regime where they're just not willing to pay guys, especially not 35-year-old guys, that kind of money, like big-time money, $8 to $10 million a year. I don't see that. Now, if he cuts that in half and is asking for maybe $4 million and that's with incentives, I can see the Raiders going ahead and saying, yeah, okay, why not? But I just don't think, while it's anywhere close to double digits as far as millions go, I don't see it happening. But yeah, it makes sense on why you'd want him, because he can do exactly what you just said. Thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Big Drew in H-Town. He's calling to talk about the Raiders offensive line and his thoughts on why the team, in his opinion, hasn't brought in another offensive lineman. Here he is, Big Drew in Houston.
Yo, what up, Q? This is Big Drew calling out of Houston. Just wanted to chime in real quick and talk about what's going on with the O-line and why we haven't signed anyone. Well, obviously we still have that $21 million, we're going to find out if we're going to use some of that towards Waller's contract or not. But in the meanwhile, I mean, we definitely still have money to sign another player or two, and one of them being an O-line, right tackle being much-needed position, or so we think at least. Anyway, and I'm thinking that one reason that we haven't brought in a right tackle or an O-line to compete for that spot, O-linemen to compete for that spot, is because we're waiting for training camp to start and us to put our pads on, because obviously linemen, they can't do much until they put on their pads, and we have a lot of hope and Alex Leatherwood, obviously, that's what it seems like. So maybe we're just waiting for our guys to put their pads on and start hitting each other to see who really is or who's really showing up this offseason. And when that doesn't happen, when that doesn't come through for us, then maybe we can sign Darrell Williams or whoever, and maybe that's what we're waiting for. Anyways, that was just a quick thought that I had. Big Drew out. Just win, baby.
There he goes. Big Drew in Houston, thank you for the call. And really good point, man. I've said it so many times, it's hard to judge offensive linemen right now. You know, they're not popping pads. They're not blocking man-on-man. They're blocking to a zone. They're blocking to an area. So it's so hard to judge. I've seen articles. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about it on tomorrow's show. There's an article out right now talking about Alex Leatherwood and how he's looked really good this offseason. I really want to read this article. I really want to break it down. My man Jacob in Fresno actually sent it to me. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. But it is so hard to determine how good an offseason so far a guy has had on the offensive line, because again, they're not really doing anything major. So we won't really know a whole lot until preseason. We might not know until, well, maybe middle of training camp. You know, maybe there'll be some things they see in camp that you kind of know, but I feel like until they have an opponent in front of them, it's really hard to judge. But again, we'll talk about this piece coming up on tomorrow's show. Big Drew in Houston, you got a good point, and maybe the Raiders don't make any kind of moves till later on in training camp. Thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Up next, got a call from Brian out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's calling to talk about the only guy left from that 2016 season when the Raiders made the playoffs, and also talks a little some about Davante Adams. Here he is, Brian in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Q. It's Brian in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Just finishing up your show here on Monday. Just wanted to bring up a couple things. Might have been already brought up this year on your pod, but off season, you know, not much to talk about, but we do have some things to talk about. I heard last week you talking about Jalen Richard not coming back, seeing a bunch of stuff on Twitter. Hey, that is, you know, pretty much indeed true, and everybody wants to always talk about that glorious 2016 year. Well, there's one guy that still stands now, that's it. The only guy left is Derek Carr from that year. So it's DC's time to shine. He got his Robin, his Batman now. It's time, guys. Let's get the ball rolling. And my other point I wanted to bring up, speaking about Devontae, is this little college NFL type transition. I don't think that Burrow and Chase had anything to do with Carr and Adams, because I think that was being, you know, brought to fruition for years now, you know, 3-4 years. Raider Nation's been talking about, you know, Devontae here in silver and black. Finally, it's here. But you see Marquise Brown going over there with Kyler now. I just want your thoughts on that, Q. Do you think that's something we're going to start to see more and more down the line? Because Burrow and Chase, they had zero break. They went, boom, right into the NFL. You obviously, you see the success they had. So I know Derek and Devontae, you know, been thrown every offseason since they, you know, were in Oakland. Now we're in Vegas. I don't think they have that much, but I think the chemistry is 150% there. I think it's go time, baby. All right, Q. Have a great day, man. Raider Nation.
There he goes. That's Brian in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you for the call. And yeah, man, Carr is the last of the Mohicans when it comes to the guys on that 2016 team that made that trip to the playoffs. And, you know, I think he's in line for a big season. You heard in segment number two, he's relaxed, he's calm, he's cool, he's collective, but still has a little bit of an edge as far as like a chip on his shoulder. And I think that's okay. Now, as far as your other point about college wide receivers and quarterbacks trying to be on the same team, like Adams and Carr, Burrow and Chase, Hollywood Brown and Kyler, yeah, I do think we're going to see a lot more teams make efforts to make that happen. I don't think they're going to try to force it, but look at Miami, Tua and Waddle. In Philadelphia, Hurts and Devontae Smith. I mean, you know what I mean? The quicker you can get guys on the same page and familiar with each other, yeah, I think teams are going to attempt to do that. Again, I don't think they're going to go out of their way and do something super outlandish, but think about this. The Bengals decided to ignore the offensive line just so they can make sure they went and got Ja'Marr Chase and teamed him up with Joe Burrow, right? And it worked out really well. They went to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow took a beating. He got sacked 51 times, got drilled a bazillion times, was drilled in the Super Bowl. And then this year, in this offseason, what did they do? They went and addressed the offensive line. So they realized that they still needed help there, that they weren't just going to be able to have a shootouts all the time and win games. But, yeah, I do think you're going to see a lot of teams make efforts to go out and get quarterbacks teamed up with their college wide receivers again, because a lot of the college game is coming into the NFL. You're starting to see a lot of college concepts as well. You're seeing Big 12 concepts, seeing a lot of SEC concepts as well, but the college game is in the NFL in a major way, so why not have the guys that executed it at a high level? We'll see what happens in Arizona with Marquise Hollywood Brown and Kyler Murray, but I know that they put up some big numbers at Oklahoma together, so maybe that magic will happen again in Arizona. I'll have to wait and see that one before I really believe it, but it is a possibility, and if it is, then they'll really be on to something. So, Brian, thank you so much for that call, my man. I do appreciate you. It's always good to hear from you. And that's all I got for you for today's show. Coming up tomorrow, as I mentioned, have this piece on Alex Leatherwood. I'm going to read and break down and give you my thoughts on it. Plus, we'll have more news and notes of the day. We'll have more calls and texts, and it's going to be another busy day, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Raider Nation Radio 920. And then, boom, 6 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on ESPN National, filling in for Freddie and Fitzsimmons. It's always a lot of fun, but it's a lot of radio. So every single day, I'm going to keep this thing rolling, man. Keep on trucking to get to the finish line, which is Friday. Never in a hurry to get to the weekend, but, man, this is going to be one of those weeks. So, yeah, just buckle up. That's what I've been telling myself, and we're just going to ride the wave. So I appreciate you, Raider Nation, as always. Thank you so much for making this show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Till tomorrow, Raider Nation, stay safe. Take care of your family. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.